I see. Do you see? I cannot, literally, if I have my glasses off, I can't see much of anything. How many of you have seen the Netflix movie, The Bird Box? Oh, no. Some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. You know, it's somewhat of a trend right now. A lot of people are watching it or really caught up in it. Judy and I watched it the other day, and it has its moments. But there's a lot of questions that the movie leaves for you, and part of it has to do, and here's the premise. I won't tell you what happens, but here's the premise. The premise is that people, when they see this apparition or whatever it is, it moves them to want to kill themselves. So what they have to do is they walk around blindfolded. Okay, so if you've heard about this Bird Box challenge, don't do it, please. Because basically what it is that people are walking around blindfolded. They can't see where they're going. And it's culminated recently, if you've read in the news, about this young girl in Utah who decided she was going to do the challenge while she's driving. Oh, yeah, it happened. And thankfully, nobody was hurt, but she hit a car. And people are doing these things. And I don't know what gets into people's minds, but part of the premise that I have a hard time with is that there are places and things where these people need to go, and somehow they have to figure out a way to get there while they're literally blind. Now, if you're interested in being sensitized to people who are sight impaired, there are ways to do that, but I wouldn't suggest that you take it upon yourself to do it. And part of the issue that I have is that it's just impossible. You know, we sometimes, our bishop, who is sight impaired, every once in a while you'll find that he's got a pretty good sense of humor. And I think it was at the last national gathering or the assembly for the ELCA that there was a picture of him at the driver's seat of a little shuttle bus, smiling. But that's who he is. And if you want to know what it's like, he can tell you, because he's been this way since birth. And the reason I bring this up is because today in our gospel reading, we hear about the Holy Spirit. And as we are in this year of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, we're going to hear a lot about that, because Luke talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very much a part of this. And as people are wondering whether John the Baptist is the Messiah or not, it says they're questioning this, and he makes this thing about the fact that he's not the one, he's not worthy to tie the thong of this individual, and that the one who is coming, that he baptizes with water, but the one that's coming is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he says about the winnowing fork, that he's going to, be harvesting the grain, and he's going to gather it all in, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and the chaff he's going to throw away in unquenchable fire. It's a lot of hellfire and brimstone stuff. And before we get carried away with that, what I find interesting is that it's really the opposite in the Old Testament, where you would expect to hear that. But in the Old Testament, in Isaiah today, it's all about promise. It's about the fact that God has chosen to save you, that God has known you by name, and that God will gather you together. And then in our second reading today, we hear about the Jews' cousins, the Samaritans, who have heard the gospel, who have heard the word of God about Jesus. It says that they were baptized, but they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John were sent there, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. As Lutherans, we sometimes have a hard time dealing with this concept of what the Holy Spirit is all about, and yet we've seen and we experience it every time we gather together. Sometimes it's because we really aren't aware. And other times we are. It's amazing how this works. And there are moments that catch me unawares where I'm just, you get into that grind of everyday living and something happens and you're not even aware that the Spirit was very much a part of you. And just because you may have said something to someone, or that you did something that you ordinarily expect that people would do in the sense of being compassionate and caring, that someone sees Christ in you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we hear about the gospel reading for today, we hear how Jesus, we don't even know if it's John who baptizes him. It just says that, you know, he's with the other people and they're all baptized. And as he gets up out of water and he's praying, it says that the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And at that very moment, the heavens open and the words are spoken from God that says, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." This happens again at the transfiguration when Jesus' image changes up on top of a mountain and Peter and James and John are with him. And when Jesus' appearance changes to this brilliant white, there's a voice that comes from heaven that says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." But then the words are added, "Listen to him." I think it's the Holy Spirit that also catches people throughout the gospel that help to come to see him for more than just simply a miracle worker or a healer or a good teacher. Even in the words of the centurion who at the cross looks up at Jesus, and when all these things are going on, at the moment that Jesus dies, it's not a great acclamation, but it is still one that he says, "Surely this man was innocent." I believe in the Gospel of Matthew it says, "Surely this man is the Son of God." It is the Holy Spirit that helps to open our eyes to the very fact that the Spirit is very much present in our life. We talk about that every time we baptize anyone who comes to the font. Any time that we affirm our baptism or we give thanks for our baptism, and as Pastor Marcy was sprinkling you with water from a pine bough, which is a reminder of the gift of eternal life that comes with that promise of baptism, we're also of a belief in our tradition that when we are baptized, God includes us into his family. He calls us by name. He says, "I take you to be my child. I take you, David, to be my son. And with that, I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit." On most cases, you know, when baptisms occur, you know, usually about the most commotion that might happen is that the baby screams or is not happy because that wet water splashed on them, and sometimes it's cold. We don't see something where a miraculous thing happens in the sense that all of a sudden the child is speaking in the words of God, quoting Bible verse. But what we witness is that the Spirit embraces this child and promises that they will be with us always. It is the Spirit that enables us to open our eyes and to see. That's what this Epiphany season is all about. How God has made manifest in this form of Jesus. We heard it last week in the Epiphany story with the wise men or the magi who come to visit the child. And they see. And how is it possible that these foreigners would be able to tell who this child is, but yet some way, somehow, they know. And it says they bow down and worship him. How is it that you know? How is it that, what is it that propels you to come to church every Sunday? What is it that moves you to believe? What is it that helps you to get through those moments of ups and downs in your life and that you are able to maintain your faith? In Luke's two-book adventure, the Gospel and the Book of Acts. You know, the disciples, after they follow Jesus out to the mountain and they watch as he ascends into heaven, they're told to go back and to pray for the Spirit, to wait. And when that Spirit comes, we finally see how these 11 individuals are changed forever. Suddenly, they're no longer just fishermen. Suddenly, they're no longer tax collectors. They're no longer just an individual, but they are people of God. They are people who have a mission that are pushed forward. These are ordinary individuals. These are not people who are seminary trained or have gone through certain things. They are people who have been moved by the Spirit to go out and to share in the good news of Jesus Christ. The very news that we hear today, because that Spirit has conveyed that message through time immemorial. The good news of Jesus Christ that's given for you and for me, and that we are reminded each and every time that we come here that as we have been baptized, we have been saved. And yes, you can say, if somebody asks you, have you been saved? Yes. Not because you have made a statement of belief, but because God has claimed you. God has made you his own. God has given you the power to be able to proclaim the message of Christ. You don't have to be ordained to do that. You don't have to have certain qualifications. All you need to know is that God loves you so much he gave you his son. And that through the example of Jesus, through his compassion, through his commitment, through his desire for people to be made whole, we have come to see him for who he is, the Son of God. So today is a day that we should celebrate as we remember our own baptism. We can ask the question, why did Jesus need to be baptized? And I don't know that I can answer that. I do know that it is the beginning of his ministry, because shortly after he is baptized, he is pushed out into the wilderness where he is tempted for 40 days. And we'll hear about that when we get into the Lenten season. And we know immediately after that, then he goes and he calls his disciples and he begins his ministry. So too, you and I, as we grow in our years, and God continues to help us to mature and understand that even for somebody who is at age 61 is able to see things that they did not see when they were 60 or 59, and certainly when they were 4 or 3. I don't remember my baptism because I was baptized a month after I was born. All I have is a certificate that is signed by the pastor who baptized me. But what I know is what my parents have shared with me, and what I know is how God has interacted with my life, not only through the witness of those who impacted me with their story and with their teaching, but also through my own. And so today, you too rejoice, for God has called you. God has held you in his arms and continues to do so. God continues to shower you with his love and with mercy and with forgiveness. And that, my brothers and sisters, should embolden us to understand that through this wonderful gift of the Spirit, that we are able just simply by being who we are, when our words are spoken, when we simply just are present for others in their time of need, the power of the Spirit works through us. It isn't like you need a couple of AA batteries in order to make things happen. Your charge, your power comes from the Spirit. So as we've started last week, and as we will throughout the season of Epiphany for these next several weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus sightings. So I want to ask the question, how about you? Where have you seen Jesus? Where has the Spirit opened your eyes to how Jesus has interacted in your life? We have a microphone, folks? We do. Anybody want to share today? Yes, Charlie, coming over to you.
As some of you know, I changed jobs in the last calendar year, and as some of you know, I'm a land surveyor, so I work with one or two guys usually. In this past year, I started working, I've worked a lot with younger people, millennials, I guess. And Trace has heard me complain because all they do when they sit next to me in the truck between going from one job to the other is look at their phones. And so we have no dialogue. And I used to work with people that were more my age, and we had things in common. We had homes and kids and whatnot, so we could have conversation. Well, anyhow, this past week, I started working with one of three guys that I really didn't want to work with because we rotate, but I got stuck with this guy. Darn it, I said. But I decided that I was going to accept the fact that God put him in my life. So I said, okay. So lo and behold, he comes to work on Monday, and he's as blue can be. So I just let him be blue there. And by the end of the day, he said to me, I broke up with my girlfriend. And that opened up the whole rest of the week. We had some real honest dialogue. And I just let him spill, and then when he spilled, I would spill, and it was just a beautiful thing to see the Spirit work between us and change my heart, because he was just a millennial. And I hated millennials because all they do is look at their phones. But by George, they still are people, and they still need love, and we shared, and it was just great. So that's where I saw Jesus.
Thank you, Charlie. Anybody else like to share? Yes, Lori, over here.
I went to the silent retreat over Friday night and Saturday here that Sharon led, and I just got supercharged with, I had never been to a silent retreat before, and just spending, I don't know, it was like, I think 8 hours total, just reading and praying and just delving into, the book was called, I think, Surrender to Love, that we were looking at. I was just so excited about it, and I now want to go to a four-day silent retreat. It was just really meaningful to me, and I just saw Jesus there. I felt like Grinch, where your heart grows like four times. Not that my heart was grinchy before, but it just felt like it really grew.
Thank you, Lori. Yeah. I saw a hand over here. Who, Sarah.
Yesterday was the funeral for my ex-mother-in-law. And my daughter, who was born and baptized and raised in this church, but does not go to church now, was asked to help serve communion. And as God would have it, I was on the side she was helping serving. So that was a special moment for me.
Thank you very much. One more? Okay, Kathy, over here. Oh, do you want to say it? Chip, go ahead.
Yeah, I got the mic. I just wanted to say Fridays, on the second Friday of the month, we go to Degage. And I know Jack and Mary and Bill were there this week. And the thing that you see is you see a lot of people that have nothing. But as you're going out and serving them, they're so appreciative. But the thing is, they're always saying, God bless you. And they're really the happiest people you meet, even though they don't have anything. And, you know, you see it every time we go to Degage. That's you see the love of everybody there. So,
thank you. Thank you. All right. Kathy, we'll bring it over to you, and we'll do this again next week, so.
Hi. Last week, I work at Bethany with refugees, and so I have to go get phones when the new refugees come in all the time. So we always go to the same place, and so I went to get phones for our new refugees that came this past week, and I met this young man, and I always, Abraham is just, his his door, he wasn't there. And normally he's open at 10, and he wasn't, so I was concerned. I'm like, I knew he'd been in a car accident. Well, this young gentleman crosses the street and comes and says, are you looking for Abraham? And I said, yeah, he's, you know, he's not here, and it's 10:30, and he's normally open. And, you know, he says, I'll call him. I said, well, I already called him. And so we have this long conversation. Finally, Abraham comes. I get my phones. And when I go back to, it's a two-step process. I order them, and then I go back and pick them up. And when I go back to pick them up, this young guy's still in the office. So we're chatting as we're waiting there for Abraham to do his thing. And he confesses that he's homeless and that he just loves Abraham because Abraham has really been a friend to him. And that he has another friend who has allowed him to leave his, he lives in his car and lets him keep his car in his driveway, and he's been living out of his car, and, you know, he had moved back so that he could try to be a part of his children's lives, and he's really trying to get his life together so that he can do it right. And so he shares this with me as we're sitting there, and it was great. So we have this wonderful conversation. I leave, and about a half hour later, I drive back by there because I'm going to visit one of my clients, and I see him on the corner of Kalamazoo and 44th, there's this lady who is always on the corner with, it's the same person, every day with a sign that says she's homeless and she needs help and can you help her? She's there every single day on the corner. But what I see as I pull up is he's hugging her. He's hugging her. I see him. I would not have known who he was if I hadn't met him just that morning in Abraham's, in Boost Mobile. But I see him, and I thought to myself at that moment, that's Jesus. I mean, I thought it in my head, look at him. He's caring for her, and he's hugging her, and he's treating her with compassion. And we're all driving past and acting like she doesn't exist. It just really impacted me to see him reaching out and showing somebody love in that moment. And I thought, that's Jesus right there.
Thank you. Thank you. I am thankful that the Holy Spirit has called you to be here, has called me to be with you, has called Pastor Marcy to be with us, has called the staff, called Jonathan and Sharon. For each and every one of you, the Spirit has called. And I am so happy to know how the Spirit is alive here at St. Luke's and being a part with you in that celebration. God is calling you by name to come forward and to share in his wonderful forgiveness and love in these next few moments. God bless you. Amen.